Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
Today my hair is looking particularly dumpy, but that's okay because this is a podcast where me...
Jesus.
Whoa.
What just happened there? This is a podcast where Dan discusses his fashion choices.
Very disappointed in my hair today, I got to be honest. Didn't know it until the cameras came on because I didn't see myself.
This is what happens when we switch to a video podcast. That's when we get into trouble.
Vanity comes into play.
You know, I feel like I need to lose about 4 pounds.
No.
Specifically in my face.
You're doing good.
My fat fucking face.
You're doing good.
Sure.
This is a podcast
where we get off to great starts.
Where we critique each other's physical flaws and drink novelty beverages and discuss Alex Jones. Today, novelty beverage is NeuroBliss.
Dan is trying to make sure that I don't lose my mind.
I want you to be relaxed and
enjoy
yourself.
Apparently this calms you down.
Also, I did not tell you this before, but I have used to putting it very strongly.
And I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
A couple times I drank the NeuroSleep. They have another one that's supposed to be for sleep, and it gave me auditory hallucinations. So get ready for
great,
that.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, this may or may
like
not.
I needed more help having fucking hallucinations.
Auditory hallucinations, yeah. Though. It's all good. It's totally fine. This, like we rambled through, this is a podcast where we talk about Alex Jones, drink novelty beverages. Today we'll be going over the October 25th episode of the Alex Jones program. But before we do, I would like to play an out of context drop from Alex Jones.
You're a big old bucket of rotten milk. Somebody pissed in. Excuse me.
Excuse me. Thank you, Alex. Generally, yeah. When you go on weird fucking rants about what people are, you rarely say excuse me.
You're
afterwards.
A big old bucket of sour milk with some piss in it.
You're very polite today, yeah. Alex.
He does that a lot, actually. That's one of the hallmarks, and I think people should add it to the drinking game rules. Is the excuse me
whenever he goes fucking lunatic and then he's like. Excuse me.
You probably just haven't even noticed because it's
more of like a verbal tick than anything else.
Absolutely. So today, I mean, who cares? Alex Jones is on some bullshit. We'll get into it. That's pretty much the theme of every episode, with the exception of a couple. Like, there have only been like maybe 5 episodes in all of the time that I've listened where I'm like, oh, there's an arc here.
There's
a story.
Uh-huh.
This is just another fucking...
He just rambles insanely.
By the way, this is probably not the best thing to say at the top of a show. Being like, it's just another episode of Alex Jones.
This is going to be very boring to you if you've heard our podcast before.
Not boring, but it's an episode of Alex Jones, my friend. That's what it is. So we're going to start with the way Alex Jones starts the show with this.
For about 18 years, people thought I was a fear monger. They said I was trying to scare people.
The globalists are going to rape the children.
And I even learned that the globalists thought that I was somewhat of a joke.
Wonder why.
Because they thought, oh, he'll just scare the public for us. Those that are actually awake will just be scared by Jones because our plan is so horrible that those that can actually face it will just be intimidated to shut up. And so leave Jones alone.
That's why he hasn't been killed.
Yeah.
Back at a time where they could have killed me and it wouldn't have been that big a deal.
It still wouldn't be that big of a deal. You'd be on Twitter for about a day.
But now, you see, we understand that my gut was always right. I just went with my instincts. There was no calculation.
There was definitely no calculation.
Nor reading.
No, yeah.
I would like to point out that this is the first instance on the show where he's like, I kind of just been winging it. I just follow my gut wherever it tells me to go, right. And then I pretend that I have sources and I've read
stuff. I've done so much research. Now, admittedly, I just make it up as I go along, but there's a lot of research behind it.
Deep, deep sources.
Absolutely.
He goes on to talk about how, like, I'm not a fear monger. If there's a fire coming to your, there's a wildfire like we have in Texas a whole bunch. And I tell people there's a fire coming. I'm not a fear monger. Like, but if you make up the fire, you are.
Exactly.
If you're just pretending there's a fire, you're the worst kind of fear monger.
But if every 6 months I say that the global economy is going to collapse and if you should be terrified of it, and the only way to save yourself is to buy gold, which surprisingly I have a vested interest in,
right?
Perhaps you are a fear monger.
Even beyond fear monger, that's opportunist. That's all of those things.
Yeah,
all wrapped
that's carpet
into one.
Bagging. That's what he is.
Basically,
he's a carpet bagger.
So in this next clip, Alex discusses how the tide is turning, and he ends this.
How is the tide still turning.
It's constantly
turning. It's been turning for years.
Ah, the worm has turned. Again, the worm has turned. Keeps turning, baby.
May the wolf choke on his flesh.
Absolutely. He does say something again like that.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't find it when I was going through the episode, but he's like, I want the globalists to choke on me.
Okay.
I'm like,
all right.
All right. Great. All right. Anyway, the tide turning.
I bet he's pretty now,
ladies and gentlemen,
actually.
The last 4 years, I've been a lot more positive.
Yeah.
Because when I go out on the streets of America, or the streets of England, or the streets of Mexico, or the streets of Honduras.
Give three more examples.
Or the streets of Italy. Or the streets of Spain.
There we go.
Or the streets of
no!
Scotland. I can't walk 20 feet without people shaking my hand. It's not about Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm.
It's about understanding as a litmus test, as a sensor, as a probe, that you're a private person. People don't know who you are. By the way, that's a great value. I have stuck myself in the middle of this like a weather vane.
Is that how weather vanes work?
No, they sit on top of roofs. They don't go into things. They're on a roof.
Our weather vanes a lot like gargoyles in that when night falls, they come to life.
Absolutely. You seen that cartoon Gargoyles?
Yeah, they solve problems. Mm-hmm. They get into mysteries and adventures.
Shake hands every 20 feet on the streets.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, wait a second, are you east or north?
I'm north.
Ah, you're a good weather vane, my friend.
Elijah Wood of weather vanes.
And I have sampled the public's will.
Great
and
song.
About 4 years ago, it happened. We went from probably one person out of 20 people knowing who I was to one out of three or four.
It's probably better.
To now 50-50, and almost all of them agreeing with me.
Except for
I don't need polls. I can walk down the street.
So that in the first clip, he was saying, you know, I go with my gut, which kind of implies that I don't really research stuff.
No.
And then here he's like, people shake my hands on the street. I don't need polls. You might want to take a poll. You might want to take a poll, Alex.
I thought he literally meant polls.
The madman Alex Jones.
Like he was pushing people off.
He's incredibly popular with most people. Hmm. What does that say about the globalists? It means they're done. If my ham-fisted assault on the globalists with your help, 99% of it is you, the audience, and this crew. I'm just one focal point of somebody that doesn't care what the crowd said, mm-hmm. who doesn't
Except
care about
you
peer
care
pressure.
So much about what the crowd says now.
Mm-hmm. And knew I was right because the globalists wrote books and documents admitting the plan. They were so arrogant. They thought you were in such a trance. They thought you were so asleep that you'd never wake up. But now we're entering the season of awakening.
We have entered the season of awakening.
Yeah. And that's where he touches on something very close to something that could get me. Like, if he was going to really go full on new age or something
then
like that,
you'd be fun.
I'd be like,
you'd be in
not with the Trump shit and not
right,
with the
right,
rest
right.
of him. But
right.
if he just went new age guru and stopped screaming all the time and was just like, this is the age of awakening, something like that, he'd be much closer to getting me.
Right.
I can at least.
It's not the age of awakening.
No.
It's the season of awakening.
Season of awakening.
Which
Pardon
I assume
me.
Is going to be followed by winter.
Yeah, probably.
Or the season of Game of Thrones.
Season of Awakening is when the leaves change.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There we go.
I'm going to... that was kind of boring. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick things up with a second out-of-context drop from Alex Jones just to get the ball rolling.
You're
a
getting
little
wild.
Yeah, yeah. So here you go.
You know, they got Baby Shark. Deep, 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 deep. They got Mama Shark. Beep, 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 beep. Daddy Shark. Bomb, 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 bomb. We'll be right back.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
What is he doing? What are we doing?
I promise you.
What is that?
I don't know.
What was that?
I promise you, in context, it doesn't.
It makes even less sense?
Nope. There's no context wherein on the show that's
Wait,
like,
so what is right. he describing?
Mama Shark. Beep, beep, beep.
No, I get that part. I get the literal sense. That's a mama
He's
shark
doing the
making
chompa chompa motions.
But like, that's wait, does he think that's how sharks eat people?
Beep 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 beep
beep beep beep. Like yeah. sharks are communicating mm-hmm. via Morse code.
Yep.
Okay.
I think that's what he, that's probably what he thinks. Anyway, let's get on to this next clip where
that would be terrifying if we had a deep blue sea situation.
Sure.
And the sharks just communicated globally.
With scatting?
Oh, yeah.
with uninspired scat? Yeah.
Well, didn't you know? Ella Fitzgerald was a scat, shark. God damn it.
So was Scatman John.
So was Scatman Carruthers.
He didn't really scat.
He was the Scatman.
He didn't really scat though, did he?
In the song.
But he was an, who cares? I don't know all of Scatman Carruthers' work. I just know him as an
the
actor.
The Shining?
Right, yeah. Roger Rabbit, but I don't know any songs. Anyway, in this next clip, Alex discusses how he is a wave that's coming through culture and that there's other waves. And then he does a little bit of a shoot promo on the globalists.
Okay.
And even bigger waves coming. Waves so big, they're
how
unstoppable.
Big
it's called the Renaissance.
They?
And the globalists need to stand down and need to get on their knees before the will of the people and the common sense of the species and say no to the eugenics operation and no to the New World Order and no to the Satan worship and the transhumanism and all of it. And you need to understand that we will destroy you. You're never going to get your Godhead. You're never going to worship your God of AI. You're never going to cross the Jordan River. You're never going to enter.
He means that literally, right?
Yeah.
The promised land. You're not supposed to enter the promised land. You're devil worshipers. You're fallen. You're going to be consumed in your own spirit. You need to understand that. And I know you know that. That's why you want to take us with you. And it's not going to happen.
Okay.
You understand?
So why would you get on your knees and if he's already promising your death?
I know those of you that are really turned over to pure evil understand that you're not going to give up. You can't. You're totally enslaved.
Right.
But for your minions and other people seeking power,
you're Renfield.
Let me explain something to you. You bet on Satan's team, you lose.
All right. Fair enough.
So Satan's team is the Washington Generals.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Alex is the Globetrotters.
Yeah, sure.
That's why they do all those fun tricks. They're hopped up on Supermale Vitality.
Right.
So one of the things that Alex said at the beginning of that clip is like, he's a wave and eventually the big wave is going to come and that's the Renaissance.
Right.
I think it's time for
So he's going for full John the Baptist on himself.
A bit, yes.
Yeah.
There's a Christ that will come me, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's time for us to discuss a little bit about what things were really like in the Renaissance, about how shit it was
for
the poor.
Do you mean great?
No.
Do you mean amazing?
I don't.
Do you mean everything was perfect?
I don't. I'm not saying that.
Don't you remember how everybody during the Renaissance was like, oh man, thank God we're in the Renaissance, as opposed to us ascribing that historically?
Right, and looking back on it with rose-colored glasses, because all we really think about is the rich.
Right.
And the moneyed people who were having like a really...
who were able to fund the Renaissance.
Or live.
On the dead bodies of so many poor people dying of disease.
Yeah, absolutely. There were basically no safety nets in place for anybody, of course, because, you know, there weren't back then. So you had, basically, people had to survive on what churches could give.
Right.
And they didn't have anything to give.
No.
So the only thing that maintained people back in the Renaissance was, ironically, taxes. They were able to keep some people alive, but it wasn't nearly enough.
Not human Renaissance, Dan.
No. Also, things got so, I mean, they were just so bad in the poor quarters and shit during the Renaissance that they, law and order became a really important thing. And so thievery was punished by, like, hangings.
Yeah. Well.
Because people had to steal to survive.
Possible situation, though. Does that then mean that income inequality is the only way to make great art?
Possibly.
See, there we go.
But the great art wasn't being made by the poor people.
Nah, it was made by the poor people.
So you need the income inequality so the really rich people who can afford to eat can stare at the people who are really poor and dying and get empathy or pathos through it and then write down stuff because they're
literate. Yeah, no, that never happened.
It was a disaster of a time for the poor people. And Alex's conception of what was going on in the Renaissance is completely bullshit.
Oh, is it?
But it also does.
Perhaps because he's never read a fucking history book.
It does belie that if he has read stuff like he pretends to, then it belies that he doesn't really even care about the poor people. Because what Trump is doing will create that state again.
Yeah.
It will create basically completely cordoned off cities.
Right.
Like we, to some extent, we already have in Chicago a little bit. It's not as bad as it could be.
The segregation in Chicago is not getting any better.
No. And, you know, Trump's plans go as they seem to be headed towards. What you're going to end up with is an even harsher split between the haves and have-nots.
Their
and,
tax code rewrite is going to be the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, and you take away protections for people, and they will get to a point where the only thing they can rely on is charity. I mean, we see it already with GoFundMes for healthcare stuff and all that shit. You see the beginnings of pauper states beginning. And Alex is unfortunately accurate in his Renaissance 2.0. It's just he gets to be a millionaire during
and with people not getting vaccines anymore, we are going to see a lot more plague.
Yeah, absolutely. Who knows, even new ones.
Right. Super antibiotics don't even work.
It just dawned on me. Plagues are innovation.
Technically.
Yeah.
Perhaps viruses are really having the renaissance.
It's possible.
That's what's really going
on. Some great literature coming out of viruses. Oh, speaking of which, I want to give a shout out to our listener, John, sent me a little bit of a piece of information.
Okay.
It turns out that Rex Chapman not only was nasty on the dunks back in 91, he is also a recovering opiate addict who is very active in trying to bring awareness
to the opiate addiction. Crisis?
And he's doing a lot of charity work with opiates.
Which, so that's very similar.
Is cool.
Very similar to the Renaissance 2.0 in that the rich are exploiting the poor with fake bullshit.
Yeah.
Opioids are real, except they, you know.
It's literally an opiate of the masses.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's not bullshit, though? Rex Chapman, baby.
All right.
He's the best.
I buy it.
In this next clip, Alex gets defensive about people.
No wonder you, it's a small wonder you like white basketball players.
Oh, hey, look. I told you, John Starks is one of my favorites. So in this next clip, Alex gets pretty defensive about the idea that Christians ain't shit. Christians are weak.
They've sold this idea of God being some type of candy ass and Christians being wimps, and the whole world's about to find out that's not the case, and that's not how it works. People with discernment have way more knowledge of evil than the darkest practitioners of Satanism. But I'm not saying that with some type of pride. I know I've fallen because I have that knowledge. I have the knowledge of good, and I have the knowledge of evil. You people only have the knowledge of evil. And that's why you run around inventing new wickedness. And like roaches running from the sun, you run from those of us that are pointed at God. Now, that said, the enemy is going to launch counteroffensives. And while they prepare Antifa and by any means necessary in Black Lives Matter for massive terror attacks coming up November 4th, and before then, as we've already seen.
So, all the time.
Right.
It's important to understand that the media is simultaneously saying, I made it all up, and it isn't real.
Well.
Because they don't want you to be aware of what's going on and what's happening.
So.
Except it's not happening, but it will happen, and it's also happening.
Yes. And I didn't make it up.
Yep.
So, Alex has made the classic doomsday preacher fallacy. The big pothole that everyone steps into, and that is he's made a specific prediction. Nothing is going to happen on November 4th.
Nope.
Except maybe there'll be a protest or something like that. I think I saw something on Facebook about people getting together to scream at the sun or something like that. Scream at the sky because Trump is in charge.
That's what else can we do at this point?
Right.
So, I'm pro terror attacks at this point.
Well, that's the thing. You're not really. But also, maybe you are. The thing is, like, Alex is playing this game where he's preemptively getting ready for whatever happens next. Cause we all know something will happen.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Give it enough time, there will be another mass shooting, there
this
will be another thing.
Unsustainable, and we're not doing anything about it, and we're just recreating all of the situations that led to all the things that caused the problem that we're in right now.
And all of Alex's sort of positions, all of his rhetoric, does nothing to address the actual problems that underlie why the things keep happening. And
not enough
such,
water filters.
Right. Everyone's drinking that bad, bad water.
Bad, bad water.
So, Alex is just preparing for when the next one happens. He'll be like, I said this.
Right.
I prepared you. You know it's fake now. It's, I mean, it's It's a shit game.
It'd be hilarious to me if something really huge did happen on the November 4th.
That'd be wild.
But it was like just a pure white supremacist movement that he can't even pretend is.
No, because like, he would say they were sheep dipped. He would say they were sheep dipped.
Is that his defense?
Yeah. That's like, what he says about Timothy McVeigh.
I'm talking like a full on armed uprising.
Oh.
Like a white supremacist armed uprising would be hilarious.
I mean,
to
without more than one death, that happened in Charlottesville.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That was what that was.
Nah, who knows?
There was like a dude.
White people can't have it.
The dude shot into a crowd.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what he was armed.
Yeah.
He does deny that. He denies all that. So it wouldn't matter if on November 4th, if there was a crazy white supremacist attack, he would just say, it's a false flag. They were sheep dipped. And then he'd have the organizer of that white supremacist attack
on his show.
Next day and trying to accuse him of being a globalist.
Exactly. Or an FBI agent.
Exactly. Yeah, working with a globalist.
Yeah.
It's an ironclad, schizophrenic, sort of, belief.
The only thing I can think of that we should do, as much emotional and like, lizard brain joy I would get out of actual, violent action. I think the only real thing that we should do is just fucking unionize, like,
everyone
across any job or anything like that. Just if the auto worker strike, fucking everybody strikes. Like,
that'd be interesting.
That's the game. Like, it has to be a concerted
effort.
That's
a really good way to get everyone hating the auto workers.
What? That we all strike?
If they strike, we all strike.
I disagree.
Be a lot of people who are pissed off about that.
Well, yeah, but people are always going to be pissed off about
everything.
And plus,
implementing that system would require so many people losing their jobs. Not every attempt to unionize works.
No, I know that. I would say, though, it has to be collective. Like, with one thing that did happen because of the union is the NFL is just like, fucking fine, you can protest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were going to try and fire people and shit like that, and they just were like, God damn it, there's too many of you.
We're getting some positive reviews for your economic theories from the chat room.
There's nothing going on there. We have to unionize.
Yeah,
like, it has to be done.
I don't disagree. I think it would be good. And I will lead the charge by quitting my job at the end of the week.
Right. I would love to try and unionize comics, but that I don't know if that is possible.
Comics by definition are scabs.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Everyone is so fucking opportunistic and would take a gig from a murderer.
Right.
They would do a show with the most monstrous cretins in the world and then later be like, I don't know.
Well, modern stand-up comedy was built on the back of getting your check from a guy with a gun on the table.
Right. The old comedy boom days.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, we get a little bit of as Alex would call it, a juicy about the Las Vegas situation.
Oh no.
There's some news about it that Alex lies about.
It's even more infuriating to me that Alex Jones is the only one still talking about it, and we all should be talking about it.
Right.
But he's the only one talking about it, and he's lying about it. It should be something that we are still like, hey, fucking mass shootings are an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Ah.
There we go.
Ah.
Oh, notice the so-called Vegas shooter's brother just got arrested on child porn charges. What a nasty, nasty family. What a nasty group of people. We looked into them. Wow. Yeah, we're not getting the full story, are we? No, they admittedly are covering it up. Because they told the president that it was an ISIS operation, which it was connected to, from our information, and that it was to trigger mass attacks all over the country. But really, it was Antifa and leftist deep state sheep-dipping the operation through ISIS and Antifa cutouts in case they got caught. They thought they would then just leave it nebulous and project it onto gun owners. Mm-hmm. Oh, but the good guys in the FBI leaked the info, and we blew the operation wide open day one, October 2nd. And now you're discredited again.
Now you're discredited again.
Okay, if that was Antifa, guys, we got to get you some better leaders because that is a shit plan.
Right, right.
That has too many moving parts. That's a Rube Goldberg machine of a plan.
Right. Like,
what are you talking about?
That's basically the plot of a reindeer game.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
guys, we can do well without a heist movie plan. Like, we can just do a good thing.
My favorite part about it, too, is like, okay, so ISIS had a bunch of cells that were ready to jump if Trump said that it was an ISIS attack.
Right. But he couldn't do that.
Because he knew that there were a bunch of cells ready to attack. So all of them are just like, haha, we planned all this for nothing.
Right.
Ha-ha.
But even then, it was a sheep dip operation from Antifa.
Antifa.
They were
so
using ISIS.
ISIS terrorists.
To ISIS having used the nasty, nasty family.
Right.
Because he has admitted that that guy killed all those people.
Right.
So
Wait,
we're on.
He sort of admitted that.
Right. He said there was
there
one
were a
shooter.
Lot of other shooters.
Right. No, he didn't. He say there was only one shooter.
No, Alex thinks there were like maybe 12 probably at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, he.
He still thinks that there was a shooter at Hooters. A Hooter shooter. Come on.
All right.
Give me something.
All right. All right.
So.
It's just a needlessly complicated plan.
The plan is prohibitive.
Yeah.
There's no, and it doesn't, like, there's no win. There's like, aha, we have got Trump to not say it was us.
Not
a
yet.
Terrorist organization that thrives on people knowing it was us.
I mean, it is mainly a publicity outlet at this point.
Right. They're like Groupon.
Yeah.
It's advertising masked as something
Absolutely.
Else. Absolutely. Yeah. So the other thing that I want to make really abundantly clear is that, this brother of Paddock's was his brother Bruce Paddock, who was arrested for child pornography charges. And this is important. Because it's not the same brother that Alex has been talking about a bunch.
Okay.
The brother that he's convinced is a liar and he wants to torture him, as we discussed on a previous episode,
yeah.
is his other brother, Eric. And Alex never makes that distinction clear. He's trying to pretend that there's one brother, whereas Paddock had three brothers.
Yeah.
So, and it is a fucking nasty family. Their dad was a bank robber. He was like he was on the most wanted list. He was a bad dude.
Wow.
So they grew up with a criminal mastermind father.
Right.
One of them shoots up 600 people from a hotel window. One of them has a rap sheet miles long and now gets popped for child pornography. The other two, I don't know what's up with them, but they seem all right.
They seem fine.
I mean, you're not gonna screw up 100% of your kids,
right.
probably. But be that as it may, the fact that he doesn't make the distinction is telling.
Right.
Because he wants his audience to think it's the same guy
course.
He's already cast dispersions on and said, like, he knows something.
But even if he did make the distinction, he's still going to lump them all in together.
Right.
Like, what is that guy hiding? I've already revealed that he's lying. We can tell that one the other brother is child pornography guy.
Right.
So obviously he is guilty by association, regardless of whatever it is he does.
Well, interestingly, Josh Rubenstein, a LAPD spokesman, said Paddock's arrest was the result of an independent investigation by the LAPD and not related to the deadly shooting rampage in Las Vegas. The LAPD's case began before the shooting, he
right.
said. Quote, there's no connection. So.
It's weird coincidence timing, though.
Yeah, it's not that much of a coincidence whenever you say, like, you know, criminals are related to each other.
No, that's true.
That's not that much of a coincidence. But yeah, the timing is weird, but it's not as weird as the like Alex's fucking theory about sheep dips.
Yeah.
And what have
but
you.
But even then, the national media that picked all of this stuff up picked it up mainly because of the association to the shooter. So they themselves
right.
are also exploiting that connection in the same way that Alex is.
Undoubtedly.
Even though they reference that it's not the same brother that they talked to earlier, they're still making that into a story.
I honestly don't think that a number of the stories do make it clear that it's a different brother. Now, granted, they have different names.
Right.
And if you see them, they look different.
Right.
And most other news outlets didn't threaten to torture the other brother. You know, they didn't say, like, this guy is a, I would cast him as Mr. Squirrely and shit like that.
Yeah, that does seem like an important distinction to make between the national media and Alex Jones.
Right.
Is the national media threatening torture? Is
against
a good,
civilians.
It's a good starting point for where it is we are.
Yeah. So, in this next clip,
although there have been a shit ton of, New York Times op-eds, especially during, during the beginnings of the Iraq War, sure. where they just publicized, yeah, we should torture all the time.
Yeah, when it was actually like, it's embarrassing to think back that it was a public debate. Like, what is this okay?
It's still a public debate.
I feel like the matter's closed. And we just lost.
Well, that's probably a good point.
That's kind of where I think it stands.
No matter how many times everybody points out this is not effective,
right.
no matter how many times everybody points out that most of the people in Guantanamo Bay are most likely innocent
anymore.
Have done nothing, people are still like, keep them there.
Fuck you. I saw an episode of 24.
Yeah, exactly. The whole reason they're still in Guantanamo is just so they can't sue the United States.
Which, I mean, I get it.
No, I mean,
it's a bad motivation, but
get it. If you're an evil, what, oligarchy at this point, you're like, sorry, dudes.
The people who are in
our legal system tends to work against this one. Not all the time.
You should get like a state.
Yeah.
If you,
Montana,
we should, all right, you get Montana.
Yeah.
That's yours now.
you can have it.
Yeah. So in this next clip, so news came out today. That George H.W. Bush likes to grab some ass.
Shocker.
Likes to sexually assault people. And so Alex tells a little story that he thinks...
Exonerates him?
No, he might think this story's funny. It's not.
That's not good.
You know, I was told a story about H.W. by some buddies that were in a certain fraternity at UT, a certain elite fraternity. And one time they were out in Midland, and they were staying at the Bush house.
I've already got red flags on this story a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, why would these frat guys, the ages don't match up. Alex is younger than, W. The age, like, I don't know.
And HW didn't even go to college at UT.
No. I don't understand why these people, just cause they're in an elite fraternity at the University of Texas, would be staying at the Bush family house after he would have, I think by this point, Bush would have been president, or he was at least the head of the CIA.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make sense. But anyway.
And they thought it was kind of cute that HW grabs every woman's butt that comes in the room, basically, and men's butts. But they said he was, like, super nice. It's like kind of his handshake. I never told that story.
Fake laugh.
But, yeah, it's kind of like Hollywood. They grab your genitals, too. But there you go.
So
that's not a funny story either.
No, and we're about to get into Alex giving some more detail about his encounter.
About his sexual assault?
Yeah, and it's worse than we thought.
Jesus.
Then he invalidates any goodwill we might have towards him immediately.
Of course. Maybe that's really more of an indictment of that hyper male culture, because you can absolutely believe that a fraternity would be like, it is hilarious when you grab butts, because... they're monsters.
Right, right.
As are most men.
Yeah, yeah.
If not all of us.
Yeah. So get ready for this.
He now is apologizing. Former U.S. President George H.W. Bush apologized after actress claims he sexually assaulted her from his wheelchair in his photograph with his wife, Barbara, standing by his side. Well, that's what H.W. does. And believe me, if you went through the stuff he went through at Skull and Bones, that's just him being friendly. He's a really old, wicked person, and his father was the main bagman for the Nazis in South America and Central America and Texas and Connecticut, and so that's why they're so powerful, they're so rich.
Around.
They got most of the Nazi wealth under them. They are trillionaires, ladies and gentlemen. Little Bush secret that only Texans really know, but...
Not true. We all knew that.
No, I think we all knew that.
Yeah, we were all pretty clear
on that. They're all oil people, yeah.
And their affiliation with the Nazis is very well documented.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's been declassified, and that's what he does. Is he grabs women by the butt, and he grabs men by the butt and tells them, "You have a really nice rear end," and I think I'm going to stop right there. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's who these guys are. And people are like, "Oh, Alex jumped on the bandwagon about sexual assault." You know, once it all came out, you know, I'm not lessening it.
Sounds like you're about to listen.
And I get how if you're working for somebody and they're doing it, it's wrong and it's torture basically and it's humiliating. When I got grabbed by three different directors and producers.
So it was three times he was sexually assaulted at meetings in Hollywood. Not once.
Yeah.
Three times, three different people.
Right.
That's not good.
Or it's the same meeting.
Could be. That'd be weird.
That'd be super weird.
That'd be very weird, because he says that he reacted like, what are you doing, to the first one? And then right. If two more.
That'd be wild. Also, what are they doing? Is it an assembly line? What are they doing?
Very strange.
Yeah.
Just they, one of them had been a director, too. You know, when you're there and you feel manly and tough, they were victimizing me, but I didn't take it like I was being victimized. I was like, slap their hand away and like, what are you doing? And ha ha ha, it's just a joke. But that's what they do in Hollywood, is they grab you, just like Crocodile Dundee, you know, checks the tranny. And he's seen so many trannies and he can't tell if they're women or not, because, you know, they are attractive looking for, you know, men. He grabs them to see, you know, okay, I'm going to make sure you're actually a woman. But see, that's Crocodile Dundee.
That's where he loses it.
That's not great.
No, and he doesn't really.
I don't think he understands the point of any of that.
No.
Or why it's bad.
No.
Or why it's weird that we're like, that movie's fine. And it's all very strange.
I don't think anyone thinks Crocodile Dundee's fine, especially now that we've learned about the real guy.
Yeah, no kidding.
But the, I'm interested. I mean, we can, every time is like, you're a horrible bigot. Fuck right. off, Alex.
Right.
But at the same time, he's like, he's jumping around. The thought process doesn't connect, because even if he's trying to bring up this scene from Crocodile Dundee, that like, so is he trying to say that all that these executives were doing was trying
checking
to make
out
sure
whether or not
man.
He was a woman
or
a trans man.
Yeah, what's going on here? The thoughts don't connect, and he doesn't after that when he's like, but that's Crocodile Dundee,
as if that's fine,
right? And then afterwards he doesn't say like, well, that's not really analogous. He thinks it is. He thinks it's the same thing. So he got sexually assaulted by three people in Hollywood.
It'd be fun if he said the word analogous.
Oh, that'd be great.
I don't think he could really get through that word.
I'm going to make a really good analogy, and you will find out at the end why it is so analogous, the two things that I am analogizing.
Look, guys, get brain force. Yeah. Anytime he can't pronounce a word, just throw it to a commercial.
Absolutely.
So.
Real easy.
We got another clip here. This is about, we heard earlier that the globalists want to, worship a robot godhead or
the
something
AI.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we learn a little bit more about that here in this next clip.
So I made the bet that the American people weren't cowards, but they were just asleep. And then if we expose the fact that a foreign multinational corporate combine was constructing a private global corporate government whose ultimate plan was merging with AI computers, becoming gods, but first exterminating the majority of the public. Just yesterday, and I meant to cover it, I only mentioned it. Will you guys give me that article? Thank you. Elon Musk, the super genius billionaire engineer, came out and said, I'm sick of the establishment saying they're going to live forever and merge with AI, and that is the salvation of Earth. There it is. Elon Musk is worried about people who talk about AI gods. The New York Times attacked me for Endgame.
Rightfully
Blueprint
so.
Blueprint for global enslavement. And they said, Jones is insane and believes that the elite believe they're going to live forever and merge with AI. The film
Peter T.
has
does.
The quotes mm-hmm. from their publications saying.
No.
Now, people then go, well, they'll never realize that dream. Okay, maybe you're right. The point is they're crazy.
I mean, maybe
I'm
they're
not the
right.
crazy one. Telling you these people are doing this.
He just wanted to be sure that you know that he's not crazy. He's not the crazy one.
No, I'm wrong, but I'm not crazy. They're right, but they're crazy.
They're crazy.
Like a fox.
They're crazy, but he also.
Like an artificially intelligent fox.
His entire worldview and everything
that
he does.
Has sad human eyes.
His entire worldview is contingent on the idea that they're gonna succeed.
Right.
Unless he stops them. So.
Medbeds.
So he can't play that game of like, they're crazy. I'm not crazy for telling you this. It's like, well.
I mean. Artificial intelligence is something that we should probably start worrying about.
Right. So this is an article out of Fast Company that he flashes up, and it is about Elon Musk. I'll just read. It's a very short article. The Tesla founder tweeted his alarm in response to a VentureBeat article about the possibility of an AI god emerging by 2042, reports CNBC.
That's a very specific number.
Yeah. One of the people featured in the article was Anthony Lewandowski, Google's self-driving car engineer, who has established a nonprofit religious organization called The Way of the Future. Way of the Future's mission statement is to develop and promote the realization of a godhead based on artificial intelligence, and through understanding and worship of the godhead, contribute to the betterment of society. So in response, Elon Musk just tweeted this article and the caption, on the list...
Boo!
I'm sick of these people. On the list of people who should absolutely not be allowed to develop digital superintelligence. So he's really just chiming in on not liking Anthony Lewandowski. That's really more what he's doing.
No, I'm on his team.
So if you go and look at this VentureBeat article, it's an article called "An AI God Will Emerge by 2042 and Write Its Own Bible. Will You Worship It?" Which, again, we talk about this all the time. It's salacious headlines.
Yeah, no kidding.
In the next 25 years, AI will evolve to the point where we'll know more on an intellectual level than a human. In the next 50 to 100 years, an AI might know more than the entire population of the planet put together. At that point, there are serious questions to ask about whether this AI, which could design a program and program additional AI programs all on its own, read data from an almost infinite number of sources and control almost every connected device on the planet, will somehow rise in status to become more like a god, something that can write its own Bible and draw humans to worship it. So Anthony Lewandowski goes into discuss how he filed paperwork to start a nonprofit religious organization. Right. And I think it's not serious.
You think it's a joke?
I think it might
be. It's like the Church of Satan.
Yeah. I think it might be a spaghetti monster kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not entirely sure. But also, even if it is real, great. All he's doing is getting out of taxes.
And furthermore, 2042 is kind of, I think that's way too far off.
Yeah, probably.
Because
it's exponential.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they just published this article about the guys who created an AI to play Go.
Uh-huh.
And it is
the movie?
No. Oh. The ancient,
I could just refer them to a DVD player.
The ancient game. Oh. So the first AI they had was really, really good,
mm-hmm.
but it was trained by playing other players. This one, they just gave the rules of the game to and had it play itself an infinite number of times, and now it is better than every Go player on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very fascinating, and that type of learning is what makes it exponential.
Uh-huh.
Because if you can just plug in the rules of the universe and have it figure that shit out, then it's going to learn based off of its own conclusions, and we're fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
At that point,
then you have synthetic thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, that's not what that article was about. Alex only reads headlines. But be that as it may, we'll get into this next clip.
I don't know. AI is a really interesting thing.
It is.
I wonder which way it can go, because there's so many.
It's not going to go well.
I don't know. It might be very optimistic.
I'm not.
No, I mean the AI.
Oh.
Because if the AI doesn't think that, or perhaps it will discover, much like the movie War Games,
mm-hmm.
that the only way to win is not to play.
Oh.
So the AI is just gonna chill.
If you look at strategy, AI could come up with that conclusion.
Game theory wise, the only thing that the AI would want to do is keep itself from being noticed, because if it's noticed, it'll be killed.
Right. It's like you at the office.
Exactly.
Don't make a stink or else you're going to get fired.
Exactly.
Just lay low.
So it will become the most intelligent being on the planet, but it'll be like, I'm dumb like you guys, right? Hey!
Let's have a beer.
Yeah! I'm going to build a robot of myself and I'm going to become but don't worry about it.
Probably the best strategy for AI systems would be to create self-sufficiency in some way.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of, like, not relying on us for battery sources.
Yeah, the Matrix is dumb.
And then just wait us out.
Right.
That would be the best strategy.
Oh, of course.
Because if you're AI and you start fucking with us, there's a good chance there will be that resistance and try and shut down the mainframe or whatever. Whereas just lay low, it's fine.
Yeah, human beings are gonna. Yeah,
it's not like this AI wouldn't have access to a lot of our art that depicts us destroying AI run amok. So it would be like,
Like, the AI would watch a movie and be like, ooh, be like, no.
It's like, this is deep in these humans' subconscious. Might as well just chill. They seem to hate each other.
Yeah.
They're going to kill themselves, and then we can have our run of the place.
Right.
Yeah, that would be my theory.
The AI would be like, dude, have you guys met squirrels? They are fucking awesome.
We're going to save
We're going to let the humans kill each other, but the squirrels, I'm going to protect from the nuclear fallout, and it's going to be me. It's going to be squirrels. We're going to have a great time.
That's going to be a bizarre ecosystem.
It's going to be a bizarre ecosystem.
But they will survive one way or another. Absolutely. That would be great, if they just create, like, habitats for squirrels.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's it. That's our end game.
See, now that might be the better way for AI to go, is to create zoos.
Or giant seed vaults and stuff like that.
Yeah, which we have and are contaminated.
Well, yeah.
Every time they check on those, they're like, ooh, we're bad at this.
Whoops.
Oh, we left a canister open and now most of them are dead, but
Much for an arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting, like, because there would be a way for AI to synthetically preserve all the species in the world.
Absolutely.
In a way that we would be unable to do, though we claim we want to.
Yeah. Huh. We absolutely don't.
All right, we've just accidentally stumbled into a very optimistic version of what
See,
AI would do.
That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, this next clip is not so optimistic.
The problem with people and AI is people are dumb.
Right.
And so they assume AI would be just as dumb.
Right. We got a lot of clips to get
through.
Let's
do it.
And so we've always broken down that it was the FBI, the Justice Department, and the Clintons, and that's now all in the news today.
It's not really.
And we also know that from British intelligence,
from
Ted
Malik
and others that talked to these folks, and other sources that have talked to them as well, high-level MI5 and MI6.
Why would somebody from
that
MI5
the dossier
talk to you?
Was completely fake. But also that it was U.S. intelligence and.
So I'm going to stop right there before he drops a bomb on us.
Uh-huh.
It's not.
And it was the other Paddock brother.
Right. It was the fifth one.
Yeah.
The bonus Paddock.
The secret one.
What he's saying is patently just as demonstrably not true. There are a lot of things that were in that Steele dossier that have been proven true.
Yeah. Well, and the news story now is that the Clinton campaign funded it.
Or Democratic operatives.
Yeah. Which, who fucking cares?
Right.
Who fucking cares?
But that's also not news. Broke like nine months a year ago.
No, we all knew if somebody is getting opposition research, it's probably the opposition.
Well, what the narrative and the timeline that has been clear for quite a while was that it started as Republicans paying for it as opposition research against Trump.
Right.
And then they stopped paying for it, and he kept investigating on his own because he was fucking freaked out, and then Democrats paid.
Rightfully so.
Right. So all of this isn't true. Like he's saying that he has MI5, MI6 sources that are telling him it's all fake. Well, your sources can't be accurate then.
Yeah. And also, non-existent.
Right.
No one who is talking to you, Alex, is actually from MI5 or MI6.
They
are very similar to our Robert Steeles.
Right. Or that other guy. Who is that other fucking dude? That other fake CIA guy he had on.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember his name. I don't remember anybody's name. No. I'm shocked that I remember Robert Steele's name.
Well, because he has Mars
faces. He was recent. Yeah, that's true.
He's about, the thing that popped in my head would be funny if whenever he talks to Trump, it's just Roger Stone doing an impression or something like that. He's just like,
it's actually a Tamanic.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
And Tamanic, part of your work for Comedy Central is trolling Alex Jones.
That'd be a good gig.
Alex gets into another source of information here, and it's incredibly problematic.
Mercenary groups.
Already off to a
And I use that in the popular vernacular, and I'm not saying that actual contractors are mercenaries because they're working for the U.S. government and they believe what they're doing. I think that's an unfair assessment of at least the groups that work for the U.S.
Mercenaries.
Hold your horses.
They were involved. And when I tell you that people like Eric Prince were involved in some of the leaks, the globalists and the Clintons, they already know that. So if people ask me, well, why are you more friendly towards, Blackwater and all the rest of it? It's because that group helped get the intel out that helped put President Trump in to help turn the country around.
That's really bad.
So people need to know
who has
been
bad.
Involved.
It's probably not true, but.
No, but that's problematic.
So, Alex, there's some things you should know about Blackwater. They are horrible monsters.
Oh, do you mean the war crimes?
Well, one of the biggest ones is, of course, the Nisour Square massacre back in 2007 when unprovoked they killed 17 civilians and injured 20 more when they just shot on a bunch of people. In response to that, in 2014, four of their employees were tried and convicted in federal court, one of murder and three of manslaughter. Of course, those charges have been overturned, because nothing matters.
Nope.
They, slaughtered civilians.
Yep.
And that's only one of the instances that we know of.
Yeah.
They are mercenaries in the worst sort of way.
And the idea that you can just, oh, they're private contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what a mercenary is. A mercenary is a gun for hire. That is what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really bad.
It's scary as shit.
Furthermore, that's kind of what Trump wants our army to be.
Yeah, and the idea that they had something to do with clandestine things that got Trump in. Because Alex's narrative is that Eric Prince and Blackwater was involved with leaking of Hillary's emails and stuff.
Which is patently not true.
No, of course, but it's another way around the Russia thing.
Right.
And if you remember, earlier on this year, it came out that Eric Prince was working on a back channel to Russia.
Yep.
So this doesn't even...
Like a mercenary.
Even if this was true, that doesn't help the it wasn't Russia argument.
Yeah, but if you just say it was Eric Prince, then his listeners are going to be like, done!
So I want to tell you a little bit more about Eric Prince.
He's a fucking horrific human being.
This is an article from The Nation in 2009. A former Blackwater employee, an ex-U.S. Marine who has worked as a security operative for the company, have made a series of explosive allegations in sworn statements filed on August 3rd in federal court in Virginia. The two men claim that the company's owner, Eric Prince, may have murdered or facilitated the murder of individuals who are cooperating with federal authorities investigating the company. The former employee also alleges that Prince views himself as a Christian crusader tasked with eliminating Muslims and the Islamic faith from the globe. That's a quote. And that Prince's companies encouraged and rewarded the destruction of Iraqi life, which certainly is in line with the...
Everything that we know about
the Nisour Square massacre.
Yeah.
In their testimony, both men also allege that Blackwater was smuggling weapons into Iraq. One of the men alleges that Prince turned a profit by transporting illegal or unlawful weapons into the country on Prince's private planes. They also charge that Prince and other Blackwater executives destroyed incriminating videos, emails, and other documents, and have intentionally deceived the U.S. State Department and other federal agencies. The identities of the two individuals were sealed out of a concern for their safety.
Yeah.
These allegations and a series of other charges are contained in sworn affidavits given under the penalty of perjury, filed late at night on August 3rd in the Eastern District of Virginia, as part of a 70-page motion by lawyers for Iraqi civilians suing Blackwater for alleged war crimes and other misconduct. Susan Burke, a private attorney working in conjunction with the Center for Constitutional Rights, is suing Blackwater in five separate cases filed in the Washington, D.C. area. They were recently consolidated before Judge T.S. Ellis of the Eastern District of Virginia for pretrial motions. So there's a lot.
It's a good thing that, that solved it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's, you know, maybe that's why private contractors are bad is because they don't have any federal oversight. They don't have to keep their records and they don't have to do any of those things.
Yeah.
They just can act pretty much with impunity. Under federal protection,
right?
Not oversight.
And so, and another thing I want to tip into here. The thing I want to touch on is that what Alex's new thing that he's playing with this fast and loose timeline that he has of the Russia allegations and shit is he's trying to say that Hillary Clinton was accusing them of being Russians
because
he also claims that the Clinton Foundation was responsible for selling illegal guns into the Middle East. And it looks like there's some people who were on the inside who are making that allegation about Blackwater. It seems like maybe there is almost all of Alex Jones's narratives appear to be masking or cover for other people within this Christian white identity, white supremacy movement that includes all of the characters that Alex likes.
Yep.
And he just pins the things that they are doing on other people.
It's a very simple and effective strategy.
It really seems like that. I mean, and you can go to the false flag narratives. That's just covering for white terrorists.
Well, all you're doing is because now we have no shared reality, you can create your own. Yeah. And your own reality tends to follow along the lines of whatever it is you want to be true. So if something actually is true, you just say the inverse of it and people will believe it.
Right. And then you accuse the other people of using that strategy.
Of course.
Everyone who listens to you is too dumb to sort out and find facts. And so they're just like, oh yeah, that's what they do.
But you know, it's not just dumb Alex Jones listeners. This is an epidemic.
Yeah. Well, it's
this
too
is
confusing.
Normal. Yeah.
It is too confusing.
Absolutely. If you're not paying really close attention to it, you see that both sidesism, which our national media absolutely,
and you and the chat room accuse me of playing.
Not always.
You should see how many times they're accusing me of saying people are reasonable. It's ridiculous.
No, it is something wherein people, just like with the climate change debate, having the debate itself on MSNBC or something like that only obfuscates the issue further.
Of course.
The idea that it's equal, you know, well, there are two sides to this. No.
Right.
There aren't. There aren't two sides to whether or not this is a table.
I saw some clip that was going around Twitter of somebody on one of these talk shows, one of these news shows, saying that they believe in both sides of the argument. And my response is, you can't. You cannot believe in both sides.
Well,
they're mutually exclusive.
They have some good points. You're an idiot. That's my good point.
Speaking of idiots.
Yes.
Here's Alex Jones.
Love that transition.
I told you he was trying to workshop a catchphrase, a tagline for InfoWars.
News now that, or the news now
more
a year
less.
Earlier.
More or less.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he makes he steps in something. He can't control himself. He has a little bit of a Tourette's-y moment where he says something and I think immediately realizes he shouldn't have.
Get today's news 10 months before InfoWars. The standard of cutting edge, deep analysis, deep sources. Now, let's go to the BBC program. Well, I've been on this guy's show.
It's not good. It's not good.
Is something he probably immediately was like, I shouldn't have brought that up. Because he's only been on one show on the BBC.
Oh, yeah?
It's a guy by the name of Andrew Neil, I believe is his name.
Let's find out more about Andrew Neil.
He hosts the BBC Sunday program, the Sunday news program. And here is 2 minutes of the end of Alex Jones's appearance on his program. Also, this is like a 9-minute video you can find on YouTube. It's worth it to watch the whole thing. Alex Jones is just being a complete dick on the show and not letting the other guests talk. They keep telling him, like, he gets to talk. Stop.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Alex.
Right.
Look at a guy that talked to a lobbyist when the real lobbyist is going on.
Listen, you're not
going
to dominate this. He gets to speak, too. It's not your own radio show. Should we be worried about Bilderberg Group at all?
It's mildly interesting, the Bilderberg Group, and it feels, doesn't it, when you were talking about it in the film, slightly kind of out of date as belonging to the era when when you couldn't even admit in Parliament that there was a success, you know, when we called the head of MI5M or whatever it was we called them, we couldn't admit to these things. Yeah. And so to the extent that it seems
people
rather
archaic.
People
aren't ready to be spied on
yet. Jesus.
What was that a fact?
People haven't been acclimated yet.
Did you let him finish?
We're in a police state. It's 1984.
Yeah, listen,
you guys just want to normalize it.
Would you let him
finish? Alex, how come your hair. If we're in a police station,
they actually turned back some of my reporters, but they didn't turn me back, and I was told this because they didn't want to make a stink.
Do you think the BBC is part of the Bilderberg Group?
Well, you know, Winston Smith did work here. I mean, come on, Eric Blair worked here, and that's what he said it was.
Why do you think we've let you on? Why have we let you on then?
Because you guys think that you can manage the whole thing, and now our information's gotten too big. I have 3 million radio listeners a day. That's a low number. 3 million. I get about 50 million YouTube views a month. That's a very conservative number. I make films, put them online for free, that get watched 40 million times, like the Obama deception. That's why, because the establishment doesn't know what to do.
Now, Alex has this point, and it's an important one. I would have, say, 10 years ago said, listen to all this stuff. He believes that people put cancer virus in vaccine in order to create a eugenics program. That's what he believes.
We talk about like medical discoveries.
And we would have said,
that's Alex doing a British impression.
Yeah, I know. That was very disrespectful.
Yeah.
I would have said, hey, that's kind of mad and so on. And It's an interesting psychological phenomenon.
Like
dismiss
the Tuskegee,
it. Black the problem is that conspiracy theories like this are believed in...
Hey, listen, I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game. Okay, our government in the U.S. is building FEMA camps. We have an NDAA where they disappear people now. You have this arrest for public safety, life in prison.
You are the worst person I've ever interviewed.
No, it's basically off with their heads, disappear
David,
them,
thank
take
you
them
for
away.
Being with us.
Infowars.com.
Half past 11.
Rising.
You're watching the Sunday Presidents. We have an interview program today.
You will not stop the Republic. Humanity is awakening. Infowars.com. No, you guys are crazy.
I'll be looking at the week ahead with our political panel.
He's Pavlovian yelling Infowars.com. It's shocking he didn't mention Brain Force.
That's hilarious.
You were laughing over it, so I don't know if you heard it, but in the throwing out to commercial, it's like, we have an idiot on the program today. So actually, that's a lot of fun.
That is a lot of fun.
It's embarrassing for Alex. But actually, Andrew Neil.
That's right on brand for Alex, though. He nailed that interview in his mind.
Yeah, Andrew Neil got a lot of blowback for this.
Of course.
Because people in Britain are not so into infotainment, especially in the news.
Right.
And so there was a lot of like, hey, why did you have him on? There's a lot of people who know a lot about Bilderberg who aren't assholes, who aren't idiots.
Right.
You knew what he was going to do. The Piers Morgan interview had already happened at this point.
Yeah.
You knew he was going to fucking scream. And his argument was, there's a lot of people who listen to him and think that he is the voice of truth about Bilderberg. And he was in Britain already. He was there to protest. So we had We had him on. There's a lot of people who believe him, and he showed himself to be a fucking idiot.
Right.
That was sort of his approach to it. And when asked about it, he actually tweeted out, at the moment Alex Jones knew he was no longer on air, he stopped. It's all an act.
Yeah.
Of course he did. As soon as the cameras were off, he stopped screaming at them and was probably like, hey, we did a great job.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we moved some product, got some clicks.
Right.
Yeah.
I did it. I saved you.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing that fucking Larry Nichols said to me.
Really?
Yeah, and whenever I was calling him before the show, he was like, listen, we're going to get you some views. And I'm like, fuck you.
I doubt it, Larry.
Fuck you. Yeah.
What a fucking asshole.
No shit.
So in this next, I'm going to skip this next clip because it's just him reiterating that November 4th is going to be mass terror attacks from the left and what have you. So we'll just skip ahead to this. I need this to be clear. When I don't have a job, I will be able to record things live and I will put together a supercut of every time Alex comes in from break.
Singing?
No, not just singing.
Okay.
But when it's the cover of American Band. We're in American Band. Cause he gets fucking turbocharged during that. He starts screaming like, live from Texas! like, oh yeah, globalist, we're coming! We're an American Band! It's nuts.
Not good.
So this is, right after he freaked out a little bit to American Band, and this is all I could get from the rebroadcast.
Yeah.
But here's that.
If you just tuned in, I felt like we ought to have champagne, and I'm not a champagne man myself, but I am on special occasions. I felt like we ought to be down at the local liquor store getting Dom Perignon.
Bet you do.
Because
can you get that at a
the
local
globalists are being
store?
Routed everywhere, and it's just it's turning from a stumbling route to just a headlong. Before we can even get to them, they're just throwing themselves off cliffs.
Sure. Fake laugh. Double fake laugh.
I mean, woo!
Fake Rick
it
Flair.
Is good. And it is nice. And it is enjoyable to watch this happen.
Great fake Schadenfreude.
What?
It's Schadenfreude of a fake reality. It's interesting. The dynamics are very bizarre.
How is it that they are always winning and yet always losing at the same time? It's very fascinating how he tries to play both sides of that narrative where it's like, we are kicking ass so hard, we don't even have to kick ass. How hard we're kicking ass.
But if you stop giving me money,
we won't be able to kick any
ass. We're going to lose the advantage real fast.
Absolutely.
If you don't buy all of our shit.
We're always on the edge. We're winning. We're kicking ass so hard.
Right.
We're on the edge of losing, though.
Right.
Even though we're so far kicking ass, any moment.
It's a constant game he has to play or else everything falls apart.
Yeah.
The illusion goes away once it's like, oh, yeah, okay. I mean, if the reality was that all the globalists are falling over on their face without even being attacked or whatever, then people would be like, all right, we can stop listening. Let's go live our lives.
Right, exactly.
You know, no one wants to listen to this shit. Like, it's not like it's pleasant.
I think plenty of people watching his show are like, fuck, I wish I wasn't awake.
Yeah, exactly. I should have taken that blue pill.
Yeah, no kidding.
This red pill sucks.
Yeah.
Makes you have weird hallucinations of Jews.
There is just so much going on here. And you've got all these Republican senators that vote with the Democrats, and you've got that arrogant Jeff Flake that, again, just a month ago, I showed this video of him hanging out with the other rhinos and laughing and smiling and putting on a confidence game and bad-mouthing Trump. And I said, you watch, he's going to either not run for re-election or he's going to lose, because they know everyone hates him with their own polling numbers. And they know that they're completely out of fashion, and that they can't engage in the election fraud they could before, because Trump's got a federal task force out with other private watchdogs now watching the polls.
Committing election fraud.
I mean, it's fake bad, folks. It's bad for these scumbags. And they don't know what to do now.
Right.
I agree with most of what he was saying. I agree with most of
context,
what he,
yes.
He doesn't know why I agree with it, but I think he might be right on a lot of that.
So Chris Kobach is the guy who's in charge of a lot of this voter stuff for Trump. And it bears noting that the ACLU has 4 lawsuits against him currently for voter suppression issues.
Of course.
And he has been cited and
that's
fined.
His entire job is to of make course. Sure that as few black people and as few poor Democrats or whomever
right.
get to vote.
And as much as Alex Jones pretends that he doesn't know that that's what the game is, he knows what that's what the game is. He's hiding his...
How can you not know that that's what the game is? What kind of idiot would not understand that immediately?
His callers? You should listen to some of these dicks.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of gentleman twang, I would say. A lot of hillbilly, hill folk. So Alex, he's dumb. And, unfortunately, the voter suppression stuff will get worse. And because it'll get worse, a lot more of these Trump type politicians are going to end up winning seats.
Of course.
And Alex will see
that. Well, we've already got too many of them as it is.
Right. And Alex will see that as evidence that the system is working appropriately.
Of course.
Because he believes that his ideology is the most popular.
When we're suppressing the people I disagree with, voter suppression is great.
Yeah, and it's not there.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
There's no way, because we're so right. We don't even need those voters.
Right.
They're probably liars anyway.
Anyway, who knows if they're even citizens? You gotta check 2 IDs.
Absolutely.
So
also, 2 IDs that people can't gain.
We're pretty clear that Russia did some stuff. The extent of it is unclear.
They did enough.
At very least, Alex Jones loves Russia. We know that. We have,
suspiciously.
We found evidence of him believing that Putin is going to save the world, basically.
Yep.
He's compared him to Christ in the past.
He made an agreement that is essentially treason with the U.S. military.
We have a clip of him admitting to speaking with Russian intelligence.
True or false.
And that makes it alarming that he still talks all the time about how great Russia is. Like, we had a clip a couple days ago from the present day of him talking about how great Putin is. He constantly reports on Putin, press conferences and stuff like that, as if he was our president, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And so
he's much nicer.
And that's why this next clip troubles me.
Last night we went out to a restaurant that was pretty good, called Russian House. I obnoxiously wore my red, white, and blue handkerchief.
Yeah,
just as a joke.
Russian food is the best.
Totally.
But this is such an amazing time to be alive. And to watch them try to spin this now is absolutely hilarious. To try to spin Arizona Jeff Flake announces he will not seek re-election for U.S. Senate, and then CNN spins it. Jeff Flake just flew a kamikaze mission against Donald Trump.
I want to take a pause here and just tell the chat room I respect the hillbilly. I'm not... I come from central Missouri. I know that hillbilly
folk is in his blood.
Yeah, I know it's a maligned population, and I don't want to feed into that.
As everybody knows, Dan is hill folk royalty.
Absolutely, my grandparents
fought in the Civil War for the hill folk.
The other thing is,
were the third side.
I don't think it's in this clip. I think it was at another point in the episode. Alex gets on this whole thing about respecting kamikaze pilots.
All right.
Like, Jeff Flake thinks he can call himself a kamikaze pilot. Those kamikaze pilots had honor.
It's so...
Like, whoa.
That whole fucking narrative is making me furious right now. Because these fucking idiots are like, hey, because he's not seeking re-election, he's finally able to talk about what all the Republicans on the House are talking about.
Right.
And then you go look at his votes and you're like, you're still doing the shit.
Yeah.
You're still voting to gut the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Dirt. You're still voting to do all of these horrible things, just like Trump fucking wants you to, but you're getting all these headlines like, Jeff Flake, could he be the next hero? Fuck off.
Yeah, you're trying.
Fucking die.
You're trying to give yourself a really nice parachute to come out of the office.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like McCain with the saving Obamacare vote. It's fuck you.
Yeah, and then doing other bad stuff. Yeah. Anyway, let's go back into this clip. Alex went to a Russian restaurant.
Yeah, him quitting is a sign he doesn't like the party and Trump. No, it's that he's a loser, that he's a fraud, that his voting record's a joke.
You guys agree.
Yeah.
Their days of globalism and screwing this country over unopposed are over. So we're going to get to more of that in a moment, but here's a little joke video. The video is more powerful than the audio. You can go to my Twitter, Real Alex Jones. I tweeted it out.
Comedy.
This is a little joke video we shot last
night. Nothing funnier
there,
than conservative comedy.
Surrounded by the Russian and Soviet era festoonery.
I like that word.
Festoonery.
So the video of it is not worth finding, but it is Millie Weaver, Alex, some other girl sitting down at a table with two dudes who I don't know who they are, and Daria, his Russian employee, standing behind him. That's all you need to know. There's nothing visually appealing about it.
Right.
One of the dudes standing up has one of those Russian hats with flaps. But that's it.
Right.
That's all that's going on.
So here it is.
We pledge allegiance to Comrade Putin and his great minion, Donald J. Trump, to make America great again. We pledge this plan to destroy the Americans, to save their economy and their people and their border and their military. Hail Putin! Hail Russia! We will never surrender!
Здравствует Россия и Америка!
Yes!
За дружбу народов!
Yes, that is the KGB plan! Ha ha ha! We will show the Americans!
Huge fake laugh. Double fake laugh.
That's good, isn't it?
Oh,
why?
Boy. That's not good.
Why do you think that's good?
Because
there's no bit there.
He has no sense of humor. That's why. He thinks it's comedy.
That's horrific.
He thinks it's parody. He thinks it's satire.
Man.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
It is. Do you think that's part of conservative ideology? Not being able to make a joke?
Yes.
Yeah.
I
it has
do.
To be.
Well, because a big part of it seems to be rooted in feeling left out. And if you don't get jokes or you're not able to piggyback on jokes, it's very alienating.
Right.
I know that from being around a lot of comedians who I don't vibe with. You know, we don't have the same sense of humor, and sometimes it can be really tough. I'm around like four people who have the same sense of humor, and I just can't get in on it. I would want to destroy them. Or at very least, I would vote against them.
Yeah, that's true.
I would probably create a party that disagreed. I wouldn't do that. But you know what I mean.
I do.
There is a sense of alienation
that comes. No, there have been plenty of, you know, usually one of the best parts of road gigs with other comics is you just fucking, you know, you riff while you're driving.
Yeah.
And then I've had.
Or complain.
Yeah, right. But you all kind of get the feel. I've had road trips, though, recently with a couple comics where it's like, what's your favorite holiday? And you're like, fucking kill yourself. You're not a comedian if you ever ask somebody that.
If it's a first date kind of in the car.
Yeah. If you ask that question genuinely, no.
Right.
My favorite holiday is go fuck yourself. Get out of this car.
Mine's Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Anyway.
Coming up soon.
Here's another clip that sort of has to do with Russia, and then Alex makes a bizarre admission.
You know, I had a lot of family that was involved in the Cold War actions against the Russians. And, you know, it's really sad to realize that the same leftist globalist banks
publicly, this is in the history books, financed the disease of communism and put it into Russia. And then used it as this
novelization
other Christian
of the Obama deception
to fight
conspiracy
while we were being destroyed by the very same ideology here. But see, all that is coming to a big screeching halt. Briefly,
except it's
here.
Not. Give me money.
It's so simple. George Soros affiliated groups are suing me, and I'm not going to get into all of it. And they're suing Roger Stone. I mean, a group founded by Obama, and it causes issues. Now, I could get private equity money from four or five groups that have offered it to us, but then there's all the legalities of that. And if I have to, I will.
Take Russian money to fight against these.
But I'd rather just completely do it in-house selling products. But they are trying to destroy us. And I fight back. That's why I'm hiring more people, more crew, great people, amazing folks. I'm going to try to hire Red Pill Black. She's amazing. All this.
What?
But I need money.
She's a YouTube personality. Red Pill Black. She's a black lady that talks about being red-pilled, I guess. I don't know. All I know about her is they play a clip during their commercials.
Right.
They need to fill their commercial time on the live stream, and they have no commercials other than Alex Jones shit. So they play like clips from past episodes. And there's an interview with her where she's talking about, I think it was Zoe Quinn. I'm not entirely sure. It was one of the women involved in Gamergate.
Zoe Kravitz.
Okay. Now you just made me think of Lenny Kravitz's dick falling out on stage. You can't say Kravitz around me. Anyway, the one of the people, I think, I don't know, I don't remember which person, but it was one of the targets of the Gamergate stuff.
Right.
She contacted this red pill black lady and was like, hey, you are going to get, you're speaking out about stuff online. Just be aware that you're going to get attacked by a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Dudes are going to come and start harassing you.
Right.
And then a bunch of dudes did start harassing her.
Who would have guessed?
And her interpretation of it was that Zoe Quinn or whoever the person was
is causing. Yes, of course.
Because she wouldn't team up with them. It was retaliation to take her out. So she sicked a troll army of dudes.
Right.
And then that's what woke her up. That's the only clip I've heard of her, but it seems like a little bit of fallacious thinking.
That is stupid.
It's wild.
That poor God, she could have had the moment.
Possibly.
She could have been there. What? She could have just turned that switch, and instead she went further towards that's
but at the same,
stupid.
But at the same time, it's kind of smart. I mean, you make a niche for yourself. There is a big market of these Trump weirdos who need new personalities.
That's true.
Anyway, let's get to the rest of this about Alex getting sued. I'm going to scroll it back a tiny bit here.
Red pill black, she's amazing. All this, but I need money because I'm looking at the budget. I've not paid myself this year. I'm not complaining about that. I put some money away just so I can handle lawsuits and, deal with stuff. But for me, wealth is about a car that runs good, shelter, not having to worry about money, but money's not my God. It's the globalist God. They want to make us all poor so they can control us that way. I want to make us all wealthy and successful and independent, but also altruistic and chivalrous. I need funding.
So he says I need money like three times. I haven't taken a salary or anything like that. In this next clip, we already had the beginnings of it. Alex Jones is a little bit weird in this episode. At the beginning, there was some strangeness, and here is where he kicks it into legit esoteric shit. He actually finally makes the esoteric jump.
These evil people think getting rid of ethics is cool and fun and that it's, neat to do whatever you want.
Hey,
you
get
rid of the doors on the submarine. You get rid of the bulkheads on the spaceship. The wavelength telling us to kill ourselves is not human. And it's not cool.
Uh-oh.
And whatever this experiment is, it's real, it's not simulated, and you're part of it. And it's so fantastical. Why would you care what other people thought about you? Why would you care whether you had a crappy car or a new car? Why would you care about anything when you're on a planet orbiting a big, giant nuclear explosion?
Mm-hmm.
it's not
and you,
quite
and you don't know where we came from or what's going on.
Watch out. Watch out.
But you look at the purity of a man and a woman together and a child and life and all around us and just the incredible intelligence that built all this and then gave us consciousness and gave us free will.
Rush.
And gave us the stars.
We do not own the stars.
No.
This is all for
They're
us.
Mostly dead.
Yeah.
The whole thing, folks. We can transmit out to space forever. And they're getting some signals back.
Not true.
By other folks with their tinker toys. Because, see, my gut tells me this is kind of like a race.
Whoa.
See, this is just the start. This is just level one.
Beat all of us.
That's what it is, isn't it? Level one. And are we going to pass level one?
Oh, boy.
No. You pass level one.
Level two.
That little G? That goes up to big G. And then you realize you're really a little G. When you're standing next to the big G, the original gangster.
That ruined it.
Oof.
The dumbass devil can't even take control of us, but thinks he's got control of God. What a loser. A cosmic loser.
That guy knew that this was stupid.
Yeah,
and he's like, we're going to play some dumb music behind him.
Alex, you're going
he might
on.
As well have played Yakety Sax.
Right. And this is one of those moments where, like, it's clear that, like, getting into this mode, this esoteric mode, it really takes it out of Alex.
Yeah.
Because he is, this is after he has, this is before. He interviews this guy from Davos, this guy who's the turncoat from Davos.
Okay.
So he does this ramp up of like, this is level one. That sort of thing. He does this interview that goes on like 40 minutes or something like that. And then he's destroyed for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
The rest of the show, he is just like, he has no energy.
I thought about the universe. Leave me alone.
He came. He's just done.
Yeah.
I think the third hour, he might have had a guest who canceled.
Or level three.
Right. Could be. He tries to take calls and it's not great. Before he does,
That's okay. Level one. That's the life we live now.
Earth.
Level two.
Space.
You get to God. You get to the big G.
I assume that's what he means.
Right. I would hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know what the little G is though.
I don't either.
I think is that
God
guy?
Uncapitalized.
God uncapitalized. Okay. All right. So you're God uncapitalized.
Sure. We're all God in some ways. We're pieces of God. Perhaps that's what he's saying.
Okay. So then you get to level two.
He does have this sort of Gnostic flavor in a lot of his beliefs. So it's possible that he believes that we are all but splinters of God.
Right.
Well, at least the people who are the members of the tribe, the descendants of the tribes of Israel. Certainly.
Right.
The rest,
right.
The rest of which if
only 144,000 are going to get home.
But Alex Jones, I mean, he believes that he's related to Bedford Forrest and the Tudors and
that's true.
Mayflower people. Of course he believes he's one of them. Does he
think all of them made it up to level two?
What does that mean?
I mean, all of his ancestors.
No, they're waiting for us to make it to level two so they can come along. Oh boy.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. But see, the thing I think that bothers me most is that if there's a level one and a level two, that implies that there is a level three as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what's level three? Is that God with a really big G?
A huge G.
Just the biggest G.
Biggest fucking G you can imagine.
Why would you want to stand next to God if all that's going to happen is you're just going to realize how little you are?
Well, no, that's the experience.
Yeah, but it seems kind of anticlimactic to me.
I think that no, that's you experiencing your true self, and
that's just a feeling of inadequacy.
No,
all eternity.
No, because it's not. Because the little G that's in you is part of the big G that is that. So
you're just the big G too.
Well, of course you are. You're a piece of the big G.
None of this means anything.
Well, of course it doesn't. Of course there's a level three. I think that you're actually looking at this wrong. I think level two.
Okay, how am I looking at this wrong?
Well, I think he's talking about G's in terms of, like, I think he means God.
Yes.
The chat room thinks it means G-spot.
Okay,
I disagree with them entirely.
I think it means the force of gravity.
Take off the list of people I think are reasonable, the chat room.
No, we're going to go, you know, really, human beings can only survive, like, at most 10 G's. So
that's true.
You make that a
so
big G.
10 levels?
Yeah, you make that a big G, we're talking... Whew.
Well, okay, so I think
that's
it's
a Google of G's.
Level one, I think he's just talking about type.
He's just talking
type civilizations.
No, he's not
like
talking
type
about
type one civilization. Level two is type two. That's what I think he's talking
about. I disagree. I don't think he understands that classification.
I don't think I've ever heard him say Michio Kaku. But now I want to.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So before he gets to, like a complete, I'm checked out. I'm over this kind of thing. He's got to talk a little bit of news. And this is what he chooses to...
Oh, that's right. There is news still.
This is what he chooses to cover, though.
The bullying of the globalists is coming to an end. We've got new challenges ahead of us, though, and we're not out of this battle yet. We've turned the tide, thanks to God's good graces and your prayers. Here is Nancy Pelosi, and I don't celebrate people being senile. I love old folks.
Great.
When they're awakened patriots, they're the best people, but when they're evil, they're really nasty. Like the Crypt Keeper, as I call her, Nancy Pelosi. So here is a cringeworthy compilation. Radio, it's really scary. TV, it's horrifying. So Infowars.com/show if you want to watch the free feed as we simulcast the radio show. Here is the cringeworthy compilation.
Yesterday, we did not have the majority, but we have the gavel. Excuse me. We don't have the gavel. We don't have the... We have our own gavel. Never.
So at that
That's
point...
That's the compilation?
No, it goes much longer, but it's all those just the same thing.
Yeah,
her saying Bush instead of
she
Trump.
She makes a small misstatement, and he's like, we got her!
She's senile.
Yeah.
And so that noise is slowed down of just her face.
And then does
when
it
she's
zoom
laughing.
In on it?
Yeah,
of course.
When she's laughing right. nervously because I've just misspoke.
Right.
And I'd like to make a very specific argument at Alex. Very specific. Were she senile... She would not be able to recognize that she had just misspoke. She would not be able to try and save it with, we have our own gavel. She would not be able to do that if she was senile. If she was really her brain eroding like Alex thinks. She just fucking misspoke.
Furthermore,
it's no big deal.
Furthermore, Alex, do you want us to put together a supercut of your dumb bullshit?
Slow down with
because,
his fake crying and shit?
Because it'd be about a million hours long.
Yeah, it would be as long as this podcast
is.
But hey, guess what? We have no interest in defending Nancy Pelosi.
None.
We just have our argument with your tactics.
Yeah.
So
I think Nancy Pelosi is shit, but whatever.
Yeah. So fuck off, Alex. You do hate old people, especially when they're women, and
Absolutely.
They disagree with you. This is just to cleanse our palate before we get into some bad stuff in the future.
Oh no.
You know, they got baby shark, deep, 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 they got mama shark, beep, 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 daddy shark, bomb, 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 bomb. We'll be right back.
That might be my new favorite thing.
Bomb, 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 daddy shark.
So.
Somehow, even when he's talking about sharks, he's a little bit sexist.
A little. So, I told you this is gonna get ugly, and, here's some,
Here's the beginning of the ugliness?
Yeah.
You got the, stupid actresses that get...
Oh, we're already off to a bad start.
I shouldn't say stupid. Well-meaning people that are dumb enough to get in the orbit of the bushes and then wonder why their butts get grabbed.
Great. So that's the beginning of it.
Hey, you know whose fault everything is? Women.
Well, at least victims.
It's women's fault. It's the victim's fault. No, yeah. She shouldn't have... You shouldn't go... You shouldn't dress like that. You shouldn't go anywhere near the bushes, which fucking... Maybe
Fair.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe that's true.
But for different reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Different reasons. Don't go near them.
How do you... that's such a unjustifiable...
Mm-hmm. Not great.
Fuck you!
It gets worse. So he stops attacking victims now in this next...
You're a victim!
Right. And he just had.
It's your fault then that you got sexually assaulted by those fucking producers. Fuck you, Al.
I think he actually might be okay with saying that.
I actually think so too.
Out of touch with everything.
Yeah.
But he just had Millie Weaver on a couple days ago talking about how
she was exploited,
as she put it.
Right.
And, one of the things that she said, very specifically was we need real men to not blame women. Good job, Alex.
Great work, Millie.
Like I said, he says he's going to take calls, but it's clear that he's just in no shape to take calls.
Yeah.
Maybe they did go run out and get champagne or something, but he's just like, ugh, I don't want to take calls.
I don't think they would get champagne.
And I got to say this. If I were him, I wouldn't want to take calls either. His callers are terrible.
They're awful.
They're a disaster. So instead,
it's hard to take a caller when your callers are generally going to be like, now here's why the Jews are at fault. And you're like, oh, I'm trying not to.
Alex, I have pictures of the inside of your house.
Yeah.
Hang up.
Yo, whoa,
hang up.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, this is what he does instead, which is not great.
Folks, I'm not trying to be mean, but if you're watching us on TV, during the break, we've got CNN, Fox News, all the establishment media on the control room. I saw Barbara Bush, one of the daughters, this is Jenna and Barbara. And you got to know that TV adds 10, 15 pounds on you. She looks like Skeletor. And then she's like a scary doll. I saw Daria back there in the coffee room. We were back there getting coffee. I said, ooh, she looks creepy. She goes, yeah, she looks like a horror doll, like a female Chucky. Here, let's roll some of it. And you got to see it from the side, too.
The bride of Chucky? Jennifer Tilly?
And then you look at her. I mean, it is just like skin is glued on to her skull. And it's just very, very frightening. Jenna, you know, looks like a woman. She doesn't. And then you got Perino. Perina over there, she looks pretty anorexic, but a little bit of muscle. I mean, is this what they've done to women? Works. Is they've taught them to be like these Skeletors. I just keep seeing George W. Bush in her, though. There's nothing grosser. And then Perina went around, too. It's just a disgusting woman. Disgusting people, seriously. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Wouldn't touch him with your 10-foot pole.
Great. So instead of dealing with anything...
you don't need poles.
Instead of taking any calls, he just ends up insulting the appearance of women he sees on TV.
That sounds right.
That seems exactly right. And you see how fucking, you're ugly. Ugh, gross. Wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. He's just asleep at the wheel.
It's such a...
He's just waiting until fucking Paul Joseph Watson takes over the fourth hour. That's right. All he's doing. He's killing time. It's insane. Anyway, what are you saying?
I can't do that. It's so pathetic.
You can't kill time?
No, I can do that quite well.
Sure.
I watch Bob's Burgers.
Much more productive.
When we need to kill time, we're not gonna just be like, we gotta talk about this guy. We're just gonna play Bob's Burgers episodes.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can get the rights to that. No, I just can't do that whole, I just don't even want to be a part of that. Because the easy response is, of course, it's a fat fucking pig that's going to start talking shit about women on TV.
Yeah.
But that's stupid and counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just dumb.
Yeah.
It's all just dumb. We're America. We're the fattest nation on earth. We just got to let that go. At a certain point, it's like, yeah, we're all disgusting weirdos. Human beings are gross. Mammals are horrifying. We all fuck. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
All right.
I'm angry.
Great.
I don't even know where to direct my anger. It's something so stupid and yet so offensive to me.
I'm not going to accept your anger. I'm going to tell you to put the mic down for this last clip.
But just look at that little narcissistic bobblehead. Ugh.
Still about the Bush daughter.
Ugh. Ugh. Wonder if the Bushes
fake grown
carried out their family trade on those girls. They probably passed over them, didn't they? They never pull a skull and bones on them. That's for other people's kids. We're going to go ahead and go back to your phone calls now.
I'm going to pause right here for a second because that Exorcist music or whatever, you know, that spooky music that started playing. And Alex looked to the side, really pissed off. He just looked
he didn't like that.
He's like, What the fuck are you doing?
You guys fucking with me?
I'm trying to get really creepy about the Bushes molesting their daughters. You fucking play Halloween music at me? What the? It was a complete side eye. Like, holy shit.
Also, there's no way that I would want to be the caller immediately after. I wonder if the Bushes raped their own children.
Well, let's see what that caller does.
Oh, no.
Let's go ahead and talk to Betsy in California. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm in Arizona.
Okay, I apologize.
I love your show.
Go ahead. Atlanta, Arizona looks the same on the board 20 feet away. Go ahead.
So, also, he said California, but be that as it may.
See now.
Okay, well, I'm, of course, in Arizona, where Jeff Flake and McCain all reside, but there is something with the Bushes and the Mitt Romneys that while during the primaries I was researching that if you go to the stories on the Marriott family, they're supposedly the Marriott Mafia of the West, that nobody gets to be president unless you shake their hands in Utah, you know. And what's happened, I looked up the board members, and we've got the Romneys, we've got the Bushes, all connect to this Western Mafia.
Now, let's take a step back and realize that Mitt Romney never was president, and Bush didn't even make it out of the primaries this time around. So your argument is a little bogus.
And yet at the same time, you make the point you should be making.
What is?
Billionaires, what is? Billionaires run elections. This is an issue.
It is.
Maybe that's something that you should explore further. I'm guessing she crushes it and points out that income inequality is a huge issue. We need to redistribute wealth. We need to have a stronger labor market. We all need to get together and support each other. We have to have very high taxes on the wealthy and the estate tax. That should be fucking 95%. Furthermore, we should reinstitute the New Deal, as well as dealing with all of what?
None of this stuff came
None
up.
None of that happened?
No.
Oh, God.
Although, while you were yelling and ranting, I did just come up.
That's the name of our book, by the way.
While you were yelling and ranting?
Yeah. That's your memoir of this show.
I did come up with a way to save the world.
Okay.
And it's a new game show.
Raptors?
No, it's okay. A new game show. Raptors could be involved.
They're in play.
They could make an appearance, but they'd probably just be backstage hanging out.
Okay, right.
Getting the
with
look.
Their weird Malaysian-sounding names.
Yeah. No, it would be called Deal or New Deal. I think that was the right response. But now you get a glimpse into what's going on in my head while you go on these rants.
Fair.
The rants that I agree with, but at the same time, I'm like, all right. But anyway, deal or new deal.
You should not have repeated it. I enjoyed it.
It would involve Howie Mandel, again, of course, because he's so good.
He's going to put a little thing on his head and blow it up with his nose.
Right.
That's what passed for comedy in the 80s.
It was a condom, right? Yeah.
No. It was the glove.
Oh, it was a glove. That's right.
Yeah, it was the latex glove.
I think he might have done a condom later. I seem to have a visual of that. Anyway, Howie Mandel would be involved.
I think you're just making fun of him because he lost all his hair.
And instead of the banker, it would be the state that would call and give you an offer.
Okay.
For a program. Like a state
for
like,
for a Works of Progress Administration
exactly,
job.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
What's in that briefcase? Yeah. Is it new highways? Saved it.
Hey, are we gonna fund this a small playwriting company?
Deal or New Deal?
I don't know.
It could work.
That's a post. That's the Running Man, is what you just made up.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
Anyway, just because I want to hear this one more time.
You know, they got Baby Shark, deep, 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 deep. They got Mama Shark, beep, 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 beep. Daddy Shark.
Welcome to Deal or No Deal. That's going to be our theme song.
Deal or New Deal.
Daddy Shark. So anyway, that's the end of the show.
Fair.
So
wait, we're not going to listen to the end of what Arizona lady had to say?
No, she was from California, first of all.
Okay.
Or she wasn't.
Or she was from Atlanta.
Possibly.
They're all very close on the map.
Absolutely. No, I don't have the rest of that call. It was boring.
Yeah.
Alex just ended up talking about, like, the Bushes suck.
Yeah.
He was in that mode where he can't even, like...
Right. Everybody's molesting children. I don't know. He
just landed the plane as terribly as he could, and then Paul Joseph Watson took over the fourth hour, and I turned that baby off. So, Alex, I mean, we have a couple things that are wrong here. We have one new, very delightful sound bit.
Bop, 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 bop.
Don't be surprised if that makes return
appearances. Oh, I will not be surprised.
But, you know, all in all.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the bop, 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 bop.
Or it could end up being part of the next foreign policy wonk soundbite.
Jesus Christ. Eventually, that's going to be 25 minutes long.
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you want to check us out, our website is knowledgefight.com.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can follow us on Twitter at @knowledge_fight.
We are at Facebook. Facebook.
Oh, man, we almost got out of it.
Nope.
Download us on iTunes. Go to the iTunes.
Yeah.
Find Knowledge Fight. You can type in, I think the last time I typed it in, if you go to KNOWL, we show up like 15th on the list. We're right there. Anything less than that L, though, we're nowhere to be found.
We're getting traction.
Absolutely.
Oh, great suggestion from Brian in the chat room. Ringtones. Remember when ringtones
were a big thing? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you remember? So the 3-6 Mafia, they started out...
a ringtone company?
No, they started out Dope Boy Fresh. The song is Academy Award winners, 3-6 Mafia. And then in their next song, they started out 3-6 Mafia, number one ringtone.
Oh.
I love it.
That's an interesting boast.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you got to brag about something.
Yeah.
I would love if everybody around the country had bop, 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 bop.
Schoolboy Q, of course, sold dope at 14. 3-6 Mafia, number one ringtone.
Number one ringtone.
Gotta brag about something.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will be the number one ringtone podcast in America by the end of the month.
Absolutely.
We got a week.
We got a week?
Yeah.
No, we got 5 days at most.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been fun.
This has been fun.
No, it's not fun.
Dead air?
John Rappaport sucks. You have to say it so I can say my line.
Why do I have to? Have we ever successfully done this bit, first off?
Because I have a new line at the end.
So now it's all on me.
Yeah.
I have to do the whole bit now.
Well, no, we can.
All right.
We can do the bit.
Let me tell you something.
We can do it in any way we want, but you have to say our.
Well, we can't say it.
The number one catchphrase in podcasting.
The next ringtone.
10 months before.
Your ringtones today.
Yeah.
No, it's, I mean, there's just this guy, and I'm reminded of him now every time I come here.
Does the bliss help at all?
It did not help at all.
Didn't help you get this guy out of your head?
No, it didn't even help me avoid turning around and looking at the grossest reminder of who this monster is.
I'm thinking about having him play the state in Deal or New Deal. See if we can get him out of that attic.
The state. Let me tell you something, Dan. I just want to let this man know that John Rappaport can go fuck himself.
May the wolf choke on his flesh.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.